Tonight is the final topic in our series of lessons studying the darker emotions. But this lesson is not the final one, because this lesson is going to be at least two or maybe three parts. Entitled Working Through Emotional Burnout. And as I began to try to put all of this together on paper, it became longer and longer and longer, and I knew you wouldn't appreciate that for a Sunday night sermon, so I thought that this would be the kind of thing that we could divide up into at least two, maybe three parts. And so we've already dealt with fear. We've talked about handling rejection. We've discussed overcoming bitterness. We've talked about escaping the chains of unforgiveness, healing a broken heart, and now working through emotional burnout. Burnout is defined by the dictionary as the exhaustion of physical or emotional strength or motivation, usually as a result of prolonged stress or frustration. Did you get that? The exhaustion of physical or emotional strength or motivation, usually as a result of prolonged stress or frustration. Emotional burnout. Depression. I'm sure there are other names that could be assigned to the same subject or a very similar subject, but whatever you call it, let's go ahead and get something out on the table. There is no doubt that this problem, or the claim of this problem, is used by some people as a crutch or an excuse for laziness. But hold those rotten tomatoes and everything else. But I am equally sure for many, many people it is a legitimate, very debilitating malady that seems to get worse a lot easier than it gets better. And of course, every single case is different in its own unique way. And there are some cases, I'm sure, in fact, it is a fact, that some cases are so bad that only medical treatments seem to be able to do any good. But I am also convinced that many cases of depression and emotional burnout can be addressed helpfully with an understanding study and application of some principles that we find recorded in God's Word. In fact, I think there's a lot that we can learn from a study of some prominent Bible characters who suffered from emotional burnout or depression. And tonight, I want us to take a look at one of them. There were three that I had in mind. We'll look at one of them tonight. And it's Moses. You know, despite the innumerable blessings that seem to come with almost without limit, the children of Israel had done very little but whine and complain ever since they had left Egypt. God had miraculously opened Pharaoh's hand. He had parted the Red Sea and allowed them to cross over. He had given them a new future, but they complained that the future before them was impossible. God had miraculously given them manna to eat, and they griped about the menu. God miraculously gave them water to drink in the wilderness, and they grumbled about the way that it tasted. This trip to the promised land, which started out as an adventure with God, had turned into a nightmare for Moses. Nothing was satisfactory to the hundreds of thousands of Israelites, day in and day out, and his ears heard little more than their complaints and criticism. And finally, Moses had had enough. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 10, the Bible says, Moses heard the people weeping through their clans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Now it's interesting, the word in Hebrew there that's translated into English, displeased, means literally a disturbance on the inside that is visible from the outside. And some of the modern translations translate the word depressed. Moses was depressed. It's obvious that he was depressed when you look at the little miniature explosion that took place in the next two or three verses. In fact, here in Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse 11, Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child,' to the land that you swore to give to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they weep before me and they say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me." Now you've probably been there before, haven't you? Or at least close. The frustration level has gotten to the point at which you can't take it anymore. I can't handle this. This is too much. This is more than I bargained for. This is not in my contract. I don't get paid to deal with all of this. I'm through with it. I quit. I resign. I'm finished. And in verse 15, Moses hurls this final demand upon God. He says, "Go ahead and kill me, that I might not see my wretchedness." Now, you know, this is not the way that we normally picture Moses being as he dealt with these folks. This is not the kind of words that we would expect to hear from Moses. When you consider what kind of man Moses had proved himself up to be, how could anybody who had spoken with God and had seen God's miraculous power demonstrated so many times, how could anybody be so depressed? I want you to look with me and let's see what led to this case of burnout. And I believe there are three consistent areas that we should look at. And these three areas are the same areas that we'll be looking at next Sunday night, Lord willing, as we talk about another Bible character who went through some of the same kind of difficulties. Number one, let's look at some of the physical problems that led to this situation. Moses had a leadership problem. The problem was Moses was all of it. Moses had no help. He was trying to do all of the work himself, and it had him stretched so tight that finally that little rubber band broke. He's the one that everybody comes to with all of their problems. He's the one who has to answer all of their difficulties. And naturally, he's the one that they complain to when they're not happy with the way things are going in general. Now, I've been in that situation before in a minute kind of way, and I think you have too, when you're really bearing the responsibility physically for some things that you have no control over. If you're a single parent, especially, no offense teenagers, but especially if you have teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. If you're the only one at work who knows how to handle certain duties and responsibilities, and these days it's not uncommon at all for an employee who is skilled to be expected to carry the workload of about 3 employees because, as we're reminded all the time, times are hard and we just can't afford to hire any help for you. If you've been in that situation, or if you're in that situation right now, you know what I'm talking about. Now, in either of those two hypothetical situations, a single parent, a work situation where you're having to carry a tremendous load, there may not be an easy fix. If you're a single parent, especially dealing with teenagers, the last thing you want to do is make a rash decision on trying to get some marital help. There may not be anybody who's willing to pitch in and help you that you can readily see. I'm saying this to say that the existence of problems and the fact that God's Word helps us to deal with our problems doesn't always mean that there's an easy solution. But look around and make sure that you're not missing some help that could really be beneficial. Moses was simply exhausted. There were no reserves of physical strength left to ward off this onslaught of depression. And so Moses is burnt out physically. Number two, consider the emotional problems that have allowed Moses to reach this point. Moses is suffering from the feelings of inferiority. Moses didn't feel like he was up to the task at hand. In verse 14 that we read just a few minutes ago, Moses says, "I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me." He had tried to shoulder the burden of the weight of all of these people's problems, and it had succeeded in crushing the emotional life out of him. He had taken all of their problems on himself instead of letting them take some responsibility for their own lives. Again, you may be in a situation like that, and it may be a family situation, and it may be that you are, however unfairly it is, you're having to bear a majority of the problems of a group of people that include some folks who really could help out. Maybe it's grown up / immature offspring. Kids who have reached an age at which they should be taking care of themselves, but they just simply can't seem to survive without your help. Maybe it's an irresponsible spouse. Maybe you're just a magnet for other people's problems. But the fact is, it's probably not going to get any better under similar circumstances. And so, if at all possible, change the circumstances. Now, you know what I mean. I don't mean go shoot a couple of kids, but there are some circumstances in all of our lives that realistically we probably all could admit, you know, we need to do a better job with this. We need to get you some training. Look, let me show you how to do this so next time you can do it yourself. Listen, old man, you got to measure up. I can't survive doing all of this. Or maybe, honey, these girls need some instruction, and I'm really not the one who needs to give it. Now, that's not a personal illustration. It's just coincidental that Carson refers to Beth as honey. That just dawned on me. You understand my point? It may very well be that there are some circumstances in our family relationships, especially, that need some fine tuning. That some folks need to start doing things a little bit differently and a little bit better. It may be time, are you listening? It may be time to turn loose and let someone hit the bottom so they'll finally be able to start back up. There are some cases, you know there are some cases where that is the only solution, as painful as it is. Now let's take a look at a third aspect of Moses' problem. Spiritually. I want you to notice with me that this thing for Moses had reached a point at which it was beginning to build a wall between Moses and God. It was beginning to distance Moses from the Lord. Lord, what have you got against me? As we read those words, those words seem so uncharacteristic of a spiritual leader like Moses. And the plain truth is, these kind of problems, if they continue without being dealt with and solved, they will eventually cause us to sin. Moses had become consumed by the task at hand instead of being consumed with the God who had promised to help him every step of the way. All of the distraction, all of the complaints that he was being inundated with, all of the moaning and groaning had actually started to wear on him to the point at which he was willing to entertain the idea that all of this was God's fault. You ever been there before? That is the natural result of this progressive process where physical problems and emotional problems continue on. Things go badly and are allowed to continue to go badly, and they'll ultimately poison and taint even the good things in our lives. And a beleaguered spirit will eventually start giving in to the temptations to sin. That sin may take on any number of forms: bad attitudes, bad influence, bad decisions, bad habits, bad, bad, bad. It's critical that we keep up the resistance to Satan, that we keep it in tip-top condition and not let it get watered down by physical problems, emotional problems, depression, and burnout. Now, let's turn our focus away from Moses for just a minute. And let's shine the light on ourselves. Studying the depression of Moses, do any red flags pop up in your life? Do you recognize yourself there in that story? Are you overworked and trying to do it all alone? Do you feel inferior to the task that you really don't have any choice about whether to tackle or not? You've got to do it. You don't feel like you can do a good job. You know that you're insufficient, but there's no other option. Are you constantly taking on a load of guilt over things that you don't even have any control over? And does all of this have you feeling distant from God? And even wondering at times if he's really coming through for you like you thought he would? I want you to look with me at how God helped Moses to solve this problem. And the solution was very simple. In fact, when we look at the text there in Numbers chapter 11, we find the prescription that God gave Moses, and it can be summed up in three terms. Number one, delegate. Number two, meet with God. Number three, accountability. Now, if you're taking notes, I hope you'll write those down and jot down a few things as we elaborate on each of those three. Number one, delegate. In verses 16 and 17 of Numbers chapter 11, God said to Moses, after this little explosion that took place with Moses, God said, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. And I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone." I want you to notice something that's very important about delegating responsibility. Delegating responsibility does not mean that you are completely and fully released from the responsibility and it's somebody else's problem and you don't want to hear about it anymore. That's not what delegation is. You'll notice in God's instruction to Moses, God said, "I will take some of the spirit that's on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you won't have to bear it alone." Delegate some responsibility to others, if at all possible. If you're overloaded, get some help. Family, friends, church members, brothers and sisters in Christ. And here's a word to the rest of us. You know, sometimes I hear us talking about, well, you know, there's nothing to do. Nobody needs me. When's the last time you looked? Let it be known that you're willing, that you're available to help. I'm not talking about moving in on somebody and taking all the responsibility off of them. You know that's not what I'm talking about. But I am also convinced that if those of us who have problems and difficulties will do a better job of communicating the existence of those problems, and if those of us who have concern in our hearts will do a better job of communicating our concern for one another, we'll be able to put two and two together, and sooner or later, I think four would come out. Communicate. I'm not talking about wearing your problems and difficulties on your sleeve. I'm not talking about inundating everybody who asks you with what all's wrong. But one of the reasons why it's difficult for some people to get help with their problems is they act like they don't have any problems, that it's some high-level secret and they don't want anybody to know about them. There are some problems that you need to solve for yourself, no doubt. There are some things that don't need to be aired out. But there are some things that constitute some situations where brothers and sisters in Christ could be helpful to one another if they only knew of the need. Delegate. Number two was meet with God. Then God said, "Bring them," when you get these 70 elders, these 70 wise men, elders and officers of the people, bring them to the tent of meeting and let them take their stand there with you, and I will come down and talk with you there. Meeting and talking do not constitute a complete solution to any problem, especially the problems that are the result of somebody not doing their work. But there needs to be good understanding, there needs to be a good plan, and whether or not you're having problems right now, God would like to hear from you every day through prayer, and God would like to speak with you every day through His Word. Prayer and study are irreplaceable in the task of establishing or reestablishing a relationship with God. Meet with God. Number three, accountability. In some ways, especially for some people, this is the hardest one. Those who have stepped outside the bounds need to be brought back in within the lines, and they need to be warned that they're going to have to answer for this themselves. I want you to notice with me how God dealt with the weeping children of Israel in verses 18 through 20. Here's what God told Moses. After he told him, pick 70 men to help you, bring them to the tabernacle, and I'll talk with you about it. He says, and now do this. Say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was better for us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall not eat just one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but a whole month until it comes out your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and you have wept before Him, saying, why did we come out of Egypt? That's pretty strong. That's pretty tough. Accountability. If we or people in our lives are not being held accountable for what we do, there's no fixing the problem. Are you covering for someone? Is it someone who could be taking care of more of their own responsibilities, but you've just always done it for them? It'll get you down. Sooner or later, the money will run out, or they'll get locked up, or worse. Ease them into their own role of accountability. There's so much more that we could study on the subject of burnout. Time's already up. And so next Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll look at another Bible character and see how we might apply some of those principles from their situation into our real life situations today. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.